This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about Pipeworks, Half Acre, Beguile, Band of Bohemian, Metropolitan. We've just been all over the place at the Chicago breweries this past week. Then we dive into some of the events coming up this week. It's light. GABF is happening, so all the brewers and heavy hitters are out in Denver, but we find a few to let you know about. All that more on this week's episode.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're going organic on this episode.
Clean, easy living, man.
Yeah.
It's
the only way to drink.
Organic, cruelty-free.
I think most beer is probably cruelty-free, I would think. I would hope so.
I was trying to use some other buzzwords, man. But those are the only two I got.
Welcome to the podcast. If this is first time listening, Nick and I talk about beers we're drinking, beers we did drink, and beers we're going to drink. So let's dive into what we're drinking right now. We got the Citra Blonde Ale from Le Gros.
Yeah, man. The good folks from Le Gros, they're in Chicago somewhere, parts unknown Chicago, the organic beer company. So, Brad, I guess they're using everything they use is USDA-approved organic.
Right.
So they're talking like no GMOs, organic hops. I guess organic just means like the pesticides they use are not petroleum-based pesticides.
Yeah, because there's other pesticides that are considered organic because they don't have stuff in it. So
by default, suggesting that everyone else is using this stuff?
Not necessarily, okay. But probably because it's expensive. It's more expensive. Yeah. To use organic ingredients. For the most part, it usually is. Not to say other ingredients aren't organic. They just may not be labeled as that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know anything about these guys, man?
No, it's really interesting that they kind of popped up here. I feel like they're a little late on the organic craze and trend that happened over the last few years. There was Bison Brewing out of San Francisco area.
Yeah.
Great guy running that. He, had all organic beers, and they don't really sell that well.
Yeah.
They're often not very good either. To some organic beers. I know Point, they make organic line, and those are terrible.
Yeah, I know like the, there was gluten-free beers that were trying to take off for a while, and I guess there's a market for organic beers. I guess it sounds like they're the organic beer company. So this is their whole shtick here is like,
oh, they're not Le Gros. Le Gros is not the
no. I'm just saying like it's not like this Citrus Blonde is just organic. Like everything they make is organic.
But they only make beer. They're organic beer.
Okay, this is a 5.5% Citra Blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else are they making at organic beer company know. That's not beer?
I don't know what else they're making. I don't know what else they're making. I'm saying like, okay, not to beat this into the ground. All I'm saying is like Dogfish Head, they'll put out a gluten-free beer.
Yes.
And I was under the impression that, hey, well, this Citra Blonde could be like that one organic beer they make.
Oh, okay. No, they only do organic beers.
That's what I meant.
I thought you said they do other stuff.
No.
Okay.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
But the beer's good. Like, it's not bad.
I'm fine with it.
It's there's not a ton of flavor going on, but it's refreshing. It's clean. It's when you want a beer, it's like what you expect.
Yeah.
I guess it's the best.
It's beer flavored. Organic beer, for sure.
They really got that beer flavor down.
Oh, man.
This is like a terrible review of this beer. It's not like bad or anything. It's neat fine. To see like a new brewery coming in Chicago, especially that's trying to take a different angle at it.
I want
to
say I saw this brewery up by Wrigley, but I feel like that's something you would let people know. Like, hey, where's that brewery you saw when you passed Wrigley Field down the street from Metro?
Right.
But, I mean, maybe it's not them. I don't know. I don't know nothing about them. So.
Okay. So, yeah, if anyone knows out there about Le Gros or maybe you're a brewer over there, let us know. We'd love to find out more and maybe set up an interview or something.
Yeah.
So, as we sip on this, what's been the last week for you like, Nick?
Right on, man. Stopped by Pipeworks. Mm-hmm. No real reason, man. I just wanted some Pipeworks beer in my life, man.
Okay.
And I realized I had never been to the dojo, so I swung by there and grabbed like maybe three of the large format beers. You can find their other stuff. Yeah, in a lot, anything in cans you could pretty much find everywhere.
Yeah.
But you know, I got a Hyper Jones Dog. That's their barrel aged milk stout.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got a triple IPA called Escape from IPA. It's kind of play on Escape from LA.
Okay.
And then I got something else. Oh yeah, I got the Tired Hands collabo. Tired Hands. It's a lime. Lime Zest IPA.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, that was great. I can recall.
You've already drank them all?
I only drank the one, the Lime Zest.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember going to, after Auto Show 1 year, when they first did that collab, just drinking all of it from Link's Tap Room one night. Yeah.
Nice. That
so I made my way over there.
How's their space looking over there?
Yo, they actually are a block away from Off Color, which is kind of cool. So if you're at Armitage and Pulaski and you walk one block north, you're at Pipeworks. You walk two blocks north, you're at Off Color. They share a wall.
A back room.
They share like a back room. Yeah, I guess it's like they said that Off Color they tore down their back wall and saw this decommissioned alleyway. And then Pipeworks is on the other side of that wall. So they're going to share like this beer garden space.
Yeah.
Don't know if that's up yet.
I think they just use it for personal space.
For stuff.
Like hanging out, you know, whatever you do in alleys.
Yeah. Whatever goes on there.
Play some dice. I don't know.
Yeah. It was, that was good. That was good. So swung by Pipeworks. Nothing really new there. I went by Half Acre and got the Sticky Fat.
Sticky Fat.
Cascadian Dark Ale. So it's a wet hop.
Sticky Feathers is a different beer.
Yeah, Sticky Feathers is the...
Black IPA, right?
From Goose.
Okay.
Remember 1 year you thought it was supposed to be
Lead Feathers.
Lead Feather is a black IPA from Half Acre.
Yeah.
Sticky Feathers is the wet hop IPA from Goose. But then last year they changed it to a wet hop Saison. I remember you were pissed. Yeah. You were like, why'd you give me the wrong beer?
I was so confused. Yeah. I accepted it and drank it.
Yeah,
but I was like,
and the whole time you were like, I can't believe they're giving me the wrong damn beer.
How do you mess up your own beer?
Yeah, but then they changed it on us. A wet hop Saison, so there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what I made it to, man, that we talked about on the show was this Chicago Engineers Foundation. They had this event at the Chicago League, right? It's called the Chicago Union League Club. It's like this members club, right in the middle of downtown, across the street from like, you know, the federal building and shit like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they had a fundraiser for this engineers organization. And then you go, so they build it as a panel where they're going to like talk about engineering and science and how it relates to building craft beers. Right. Cool. So they got a panel of like, you know, 10 breweries, and then you're in this big event space and it's like a full on festival, you know, where there's like, you know, jockey boxes and everybody's there, but you know it's funny because like the space is really like grand in an old world kind of sense, and mm-hmm. then also they have this policy of no denim, so you know you're in there with guys and you know they're all clean shaven, they got on their three-piece suits, you know, it's that kind of vibe. Mm. But it's a beer fest. So it was pretty cool. It was definitely different.
Was it one of the fancier beer fests you've been to then?
Yeah, I mean it wasn't the fanciest beer fest for beer people is probably Festivale.
Okay, right.
That's or Brew's Eve. Brew's Eve can be
maybe
it
yeah.
can be
people
sexy
are dressed
time.
Up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're dressed up for that. This was a fancy beer fest, but it was a beer fest where the people there were still like discovering local beer.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Were the beers on tap? Were they like
Everything was draft jockey box, except for some folks they brought cans.
But were they like classic standard ones like? Here's Daisy Cutter.
Right, right. Yeah, so like Rev would bring the Fist City and the Pills.
Yeah.
All the approachable stuff.
Okay.
You know, I think Around the Bend brought their baseline stuff.
So they knew their audience, like, we don't have to bring out the big guns for this.
Right. I really dug that Flossmoor Station brought out Shadow of the Moon, which is like this huge 9% stout. Yeah, that was cool. Penrose brought their Wet Hot IPA.
Oh, cool.
And their Taproom IPA. So that was nice. Yeah. It was a good talk, man. They talked about they talked about science, and I think one of the things that stood out was Tom Corder from Penrose, who had his celebration of funk party this weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He was talking about he's got a mechanical engineering degree from University of Illinois. Mm-hmm. So they're talking to him, and he's like, "Hey, you know, the commonalities are in the problem solving. You know, when this goes down, what do you do? That kind of thing." And then there was a guy. I think Tom was one of the few like actual brewmasters that was there. Uh-huh. Right. And everyone else was just a rep of the brewery kind of thing. Right. Wow. Oh, but the Rev guys were saying something like, hey, if you're not going out of your way to constantly try to understand, you know, biology and physics as it relates to brewing, regardless of what kind of education you had before you got in, you know, then things are going to be tough for you. They were talking about that. And they were talking about like, you know, the build out process and how they had to deal with the alderman. You know, the Dovetail guys said, hey, before we even found a space, we surveyed the whole city and just went and talked to aldermen that were interested and craft beer that were supportive of craft breweries.
Right.
And getting a general contractor who's worked with the city before. So when you run into red tape, you know, you can slide over that pretty easily. You
right.
Know?
Okay.
So it was those kind of conversations.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I saw a few pictures that you posted. It looked like a really nice event and yeah, great space.
Dude, the space is apparently 23 stories. It's got, the event rooms. It's a hotel and it's got like 3 or 4 bars in it. Yeah. Nice. So at the end of the night, they gave away an award for the brewery, the best brewery, best in show. And that brewery is going to have their beer on tap at one of the bars. So right beside her won the popular vote.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they had the most approachable offering. But, you know, that Dovetail offering was really good. Man, I actually thought it was a wheat ale because they brought the lager. That's all they brought.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah. Dude, is this a wheat ale? He's like, no, man. The mouthfeel is similar to a wheat ale because of the water. You know, we talked in the past how you go to Dovetail on their tour. The first thing they do is they have you
try different waters.
Try all these different waters. They got this machine that replicates water from, you know, from Belgium, from Germany, Chicago tap water. And then, so that was interesting. It sparked a conversation about how they've got a beer in-house now called like a Urweiss. So whatever the purity law is, Reinskip, I always butcher that.
Yeah. Reinsheitsgebot,
right? The 500-year-old purity law that regulated beer to these four ingredients, right? Yeah. He said part of the story that went into that was, you know, the lawmakers knew that, you know, beer was too good of an ingredient. It was delicious in beer, wheat.
Yeah,
wheat was delicious in beer, and if we didn't pass this law regulating that you couldn't use wheat, then all the brewers would use all the wheat in the country.
They wouldn't have any food.
And they wouldn't have any for bread. And I actually never heard that angle of, the purity law.
That's funny.
You know, so that was good. It was a good night, man. The one thing that did catch my eye was like, and I know I'm rambling a little bit, but I'll wrap with this. They were like, the local scene really just started to take off. I was doing the numbers, man, and out of 71 breweries, like most of them have come online in Chicago since 2012, right? So you're talking like the huge, like 90% of all the breweries that we have in the city have all been on, they're less than 5 years old, right?
Yeah.
And before that, this was kind of seen as, you know, they would say where it was like dumping ground for national players, for regional players. Like, hey, oh, that beer's not selling in California, we'll take it to Chicago because we've always been a drinking town.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always prided ourselves as a transportation hub in the middle of the city. We all know that story. But then like... we decided to become producers ourselves, you know, and the reason we hadn't before is because we got access to everything in the world because we're in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
You know, crisscrossing to get to either coast has always been something we were priding ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're, but now you're starting to see a shift in the last few years where we're pushing out regional players. We're pushing out national players and more taps are focusing on local beer. And that's actually pretty, pretty rad. So,
yeah, I think we've talked about that here on the podcast before about how we just really drink Chicago beer. I have a lot of people that I know online that are like, oh, any new beers you've had? I'm like, I can't recommend you a beer because you can't get them. Like, I haven't had whatever Stone beer came out or whatever new Sculpin there is.
It's true.
Because, I drank this new one that was at Band of Bohemia. Like, what? You can't? No.
No, right. It's like, like I was talking, like I was the most exciting thing I did this week. I was like, man, I love the label on Sticky Fat. It's a brewery only release. I'm going to Lincoln to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift, and even the brewers are seeing it too.
Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of those beers, like mentioned that before, like the East Coast aisle in Binny's. Yeah, it's dead. Like, no one's going down there. Like, lights are off kind of thing. Just because the Midwest main aisle of beer is so massive and everyone's looking to see what new beer is out from Chicago or their favorite brewery.
Yeah, and I can appreciate the wide variety of styles. Like when you went to Minnesota, we were talking about how the styles aren't really, the range of styles isn't really there in the places you hit outside of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But here, it's not like that at all.
No.
Yeah, get everybody from off color making, you know, wild, bizarre stuff to, you know, the biggest brewery. The town's in Lagunitas.
The guy will making 10 APAs.
You know, so... Yeah, so it's a playground for a lot of different types of beers,
for sure,
so it's cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome to see. The everything every brewer and every brewery tries something new. If it's a big bottle release, a barrel-aged beer or something, they're always doing something different. And they want to do that because it gets boring. Why would you want to brew the same beer over and over again just for the money? Like, that's probably not why you've got into beer in the first place.
That's true. Your Forbidden Roots or the Five Rabbit, who was there, you know, the, I think they're the only brewer in the country that focuses on like Latin inspired beers, you know, putting everything from, you know, Dolce to caramel to like, you know, what's that, that dark sugar, it's escaping me, but it's in their, it's in their Oktoberfest beer.
Yeah. Okay.
It's in their Marzen beer. Yeah.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, that sounds like a pretty solid week for you. I hit up a few spots. Definitely hit up Beguile again because got the ski ball.
Because you're in the league.
So I'll be over there.
How's are you skiing this doing in the league?
We're not doing well, but we're continuing to drink. So it's a win-win.
Right on.
Or it's a win, but a loss.
It's just not a win-win. It's just a win.
Yeah,
a win in the beer.
We're having a good time. That's all that matters.
Team building, you know. Yeah.
We haven't taken on Kevin's team yet.
No.
So maybe. I don't know who we'd take on this week. But, yeah. So they're transitioning into a lot of different beers now as the APAs are kind of coming off. So that's cool to see. But maybe that's messing us up. Maybe we were like, the APAs were fueling our wins.
Yeah.
Now that they're...
Because you're talking shit about them and now they're gone.
I hope you're happy. Damn it.
Hope you're happy.
After that night, we took a ride up to Band of Bohemia.
Oh, right on.
Went in for like drinks and some bites to eat, so had like a couple beers.
The only Michelin star brew pub in the country.
Yeah,
Band of Bohemia.
I was not prepared for most of their beers being 9% and 10%.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was like, I was just looking at the names and kind of reading them. I was like, oh, that sounds kind of light. I ordered it and then I kept looking and it was 9%. It's like, what? That is not what I need after ski ball drinking on a Tuesday night.
Man.
And then I had to get a cocktail. Yeah.
Oh, you're like, well, fuck it. The gloves are off now.
Yeah. Always a really nice space. It was busy in there too for a Tuesday night.
I don't want this 10% beer. God damn it.
Give me a cocktail.
You know what? Let me have a cocktail.
Yeah. Well, there's another person with us and she got rosé, and she asked, like, oh, how high is the rosé to this person? Because I was like, damn, your beer's like 9%. And he's like, well, your rosé is like 13. And she's like, oh, I win. He's like, well, they have like 12-ounce pours. You have like a 6-8 ounce. So, no.
I wonder if rosé is like seasonal the way like, you know, some beers are. You know, because rosé kind of seems like it's leaving us.
It seems right.
Do people drink rosé all year? I don't know.
I think people have fallen in love with rosé in the last like year.
Yeah.
So, but then later in the week, Friday, I did check out the new Metro Tap Room.
Oh, right on. Yeah, Metropolitan's open.
Yeah, they're open. You can go in there, have beers. The bar and space is beautiful. You went over there for the initial open.
I missed that.
Oh, okay. No. I thought you were there for that.
They were because they were in Ravenswood, but they didn't have a tap room. It was just their production space.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're in Avondale.
Yeah.
A little further west, a little further south, right off Chicago River now.
Yeah.
So how was the space, man?
The space is really nice. When you go up to it right now, it's a construction zone.
Okay.
Like, you have to walk across a wood plank.
Oh, wow.
That goes over, like, a hole. and I had rode my bike there, so we just locked it up to some metal that was there. I don't know. Like, okay. And then you have to go down basically a hallway that's all wood and just like, you know, a construction site.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what all these places in this building are going to be.
Okay.
Metro is in the way back.
Okay. So it's connected to other businesses like that?
It looks like it will be. There's nothing. It's empty rooms at the moment.
Okay.
And once you get back there, the space is bright. It's beautiful. It was busy. There was a lot of people there. Doug and Tracy were both there. People were taking photos with them and like of the space and stuff. So, you know, right, all the PR press stuff that's happening for them right now.
For sure. Good for them, man. I know like they started with what, like maybe 09-ish, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, it was a bold step, you know, to just be the only crew in town that said, hey, we're only focusing on lagers.
Yeah.
And that's all we're making. Now it's more commonplace, but I mean, they were the first ones doing that maybe 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you can get beers in like, I think it was like quarter liters and half liters. And yeah, really nice drinking it like fresh there, because you know how important it is like having a fresh lager. It's like, it's miles apart from something if you're drinking an Oktoberfest from overseas and you're drinking one here fresh. They're just way different and
that's true,
much more enjoyable.
Yeah, right on.
So yeah, I would check it out. I think they're only open what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Food? Can you just bring your own food?
I guess you can probably bring your own food.
Okay.
I don't know what the rules are on that. They don't have food.
Oh, well, there you go.
So maybe I would not order anything there because no one's gonna find you. Like if you want to bring food, you probably need to like pack your lunch.
Like, dude, I've been driving around this whole neighborhood, man.
Yeah. Are you in this empty lot? Like, I can't even drive back there.
It's so. Like the glory days of Lagunitas before they put the sign up outside. Like, you call a cab, and yeah, there's no way you can find that place.
Yeah, and you just hope that as you walk to Western, you don't get, like, jumped.
Can't just be walking through everybody's neighborhood, man. I learned that going to Lagunitas.
But cool. Yeah, I would recommend going and checking out the new Metro space. It's great.
Right on.
So that's it. That's all I made it to. That's all we made it to.
I think you're right, man.
All right. We should dive into this week. What do we got on the calendar?
Let's do it, man. It sounds like this week, October 6th. Well, first of all, it's the Great American Beer Fest this week.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah. So this is that come around quick, man. That's the oldest, largest beer festival in the country. Michael Jackson, who's partially responsible for the one over in England, talked to Charlie Papazian and said, hey, man, you guys need to do something like that here.
Cool.
And here we are, man. It's always in Denver. That city comes to life. I think the actual event is kind of a shit show, but all the stuff around Denver, the city comes alive. You know, the Goose Island guys aren't going to be there.
Did they not send any beer this time?
No, apparently there's a lottery every year, and they didn't win a lottery slot for, you know. And I always
I think as a company, Anheuser-Busch is only allowed to send a certain allotment of beers.
So they all
select beers to send. So 10 Barrel and Goose
Breckenridge
and Wicked Weed they're going, of course, send Miller Lite, and so Goose might have lost out.
Maybe that's what that.
And
was
so they're
about.
Not going to have any beer in the competition, so they're not going to win any awards. So maybe they're just like, we don't need to be there. Let one of the other breweries that own.
The 10 or whatever it was they bought. That sucks. I've always, you know, you can always cut the Goose line because you know everyone at Goose if you're in Denver, right? That's always fun. But then they also do really righteous parties. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when Ken did and Sergio did the documentary for, you know, Grit and Grain, they run out of movie theater, this image of like the elegant chalice full of BCS in one hand and popcorn in the other with like 200 people going into a movie theater and Brett and, you know, and John Hall and Greg rocking the mic. I mean, like these are classic moments, you know?
Yeah.
So, and they're not going to be there. So that sucks.
That's too bad.
The party goes on.
But you're going to be there.
I'll be there for the first time in 2 years. I'm excited about that. Just looking for a getaway, man. The party starts Thursday. I'm going to go early.
Okay.
You know, got a couple spots. I want to hit Casey's. I want to hit, you know, at Grandma's house. There's a place
Your Grandma's house?
Grandma's House to Brew. I got a sticker for this guy from the day job for Grandma's house, and I've been trying to go. So.
Oh, really? I like in Denver, our mutual friend.
Our mutual friend.
They're One, great beers and awesome name.
Awesome name. Four Noses Brewery is one of the newer breweries. Colorado's got 300 breweries, man.
Wow.
300. All right, so Chicago's got 71. Chicago's bigger than probably all of Colorado. Definitely bigger than Denver.
Yeah.
Chicago's got like 70 breweries. Chicago proper.
Yeah.
Colorado, it's Chicago plus the burbs, you know, about 150, 160. Colorado has 300 breweries, man.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of smaller breweries in Colorado. Chicago, you can't have a small brewery, realistically, unless you're doing like something like Arcade was doing with Ale Syndicate. You can't afford to have a space.
Alternating proprietorship. It's got to be like, you got to have a brewery in an arcade or a brewery in some kind of kitchen.
You got to make so much money, so you got to step it up. Yeah. Where I think in Denver you could, in Colorado in general, you could just be like, hey, we're the brewery in the small town. Like, I don't know. People come here, they camp, they go hiking, and we make beer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get out there.
Cool.
We were talking about the 312 block party. Apparently, Vic Mensa was scheduled to perform at the block party a week or two ago.
Okay.
And he had sound issues and he couldn't. So they're going to have a makeup show. It's a free show. It's October 5th. It's at the Metro. And it's featuring Vic Mensa. It's called the 312 block party. Chicago's own Vic Mensa.
So 312 block party again.
312 block party presents Vic Mensa.
Nice. And a free show.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sure it'll be lying down the block.
Oh, they're suggesting you come early.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. What else is going on this week? I don't know, man. It's a light week. We can fast forward to next week if you want.
Well, there's a couple things on Saturday.
Okay.
There's a Brewers Night with Middlebrow.
Okay.
That's at Lucky Door. They're on Waveland.
Yeah, that's the one across, like, steps away from Wrigley.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think just Middlebrow, it's kind of like a tap takeover, I think. There might be people there from Middlebrow. I don't know all the details, but that kicks off from 6 to 10 p.m.
Okay.
Earlier in the day is the last of this brewery running series.
Okay.
We had talked to them a little bit, I think, on our Facebook chat about getting them on the show and talking about this running series they do. But what they do is they meet up at a brewery. You sign up ahead of time. I think you run two breweries and you can get a beer. And then you, like, do this run, and you end up back at the starting brewery.
Right on.
So this is the last one for the season at Burnt City. You can sign up at breweryrunningseries.com. They said the next season will kick off in April. So maybe we'll have them on before that, kind of hear how this one went and what's planned for the next one.
It's good to hear, man. People need to get out off their ass.
Run.
Go run.
Yeah.
Go jog. I'm going to jog. I'm going to power walk, keep it real with you.
Yeah,
I'm more of a power walker.
Yeah. Maybe at intersections, you'll do a little like.
I can get you like a good 2-minute jog.
Okay, cool.
And then I'm back to the walk. Right on.
So those are both Saturday. That's all I have.
Okay.
What do you got leading up into next week?
Yeah, next week is the 13th, Friday the 13th.
What?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Riverwalk, Oktoberfest. It's going to be Chicago Friday Night Lights. So this was the summertime series that the city put on that showcased breweries throughout the city. It sounds like that's done, but they're going to continue with Oktoberfest. Now, Oktoberfest, the real Oktoberfest in Munich, is to ring in the month of October. So it usually is cracking by like the 15th through the 20th, something like that.
Yeah, it starts like, it ends like September. I mean, not September, October like 2nd or 3rd.
Right. So this is a full 2 weeks after that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but there will be 20 Chicago breweries there. And, you know, if you haven't been down to the riverfront lately, man, there was this huge push to revamp everything down there. So all the entrances are new. It's been expanded. The walkways are all new. There's a ton of bars down there now.
Damn.
You know, like city wineries down there. There's a couple beer-centric bars down there, cocktail bars. It's actually like a really cool scene, you know. Yeah, and then you got all the yachts and the
awesome
water taxis and stuff rolling by, so.
Very cool.
Good stuff. And then the next day, October 14th, the Chicago Beer Fest is back. It sounds like they're rebranding themselves as the Rare and Wild Beer Festival.
Okay.
So maybe that's the focus. Maybe
this isn't the one you're not invited to.
This is the same crew.
Oh, okay.
It's the same crew that told me to fuck off. You know what they told me? They said, Nick, and this is great. They were like, Nick, you know, You called us, what do you say? You called us pretty for an ugly girl. And you're not welcome to our fucking parties anymore. That's what he told us. So then we had, on Chicago Beer Geeks, we had this writer, you know, Allie. She came on. And then last year, my situation was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then she tried to get, she tried to go last year. And then they were still like, no, you cannot come.
So now they're taking your advice and rebranding 5 years later.
I'm just glad they read the story. You know, yeah. I was like fist in the air. I'm like, they read the story. That's great.
So they're rebranding as Rare.
Rare and Wild Beer Fest. So, I mean, I'm looking at the, I'm on the website. I'm not seeing any particulars about who's going to be there and what the Wild or Rare is, but that's what they're calling the party. Yeah. And it's, it used to be in Union Station.
Yeah.
But I believe they're moving it to the museum.
Oh, that's cool.
The Field Museum.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
So that's a great space.
Yeah. No, I've done a couple events there. It's really cool.
That's October 14th. We're still shouting them out, regardless of how they feel about us.
I know. They should definitely invite us there because now we know what it was previously. Is this just a marketing push and you're still going to have like Line and Kugel?
Yeah, because it wasn't a diss. We were just kind of saying, hey, you know, if you're coming in from, you know, one of these towns that are far away that connect to this Union Station and, you know, and you're okay with drinking, you know, paying $50 to go drink Sapporo and fucking, you know, Bohemia, then it was a cool party. That's all we did. It wasn't a diss.
Mm-hmm.
We were just saying, hey, these are the brands that they had there under this craft beer festival moniker. So
right. And not saying the breweries that are going to be there when we're like, less than 2 weeks away isn't good for the beer nerd, beer geek out there because they want to know. There's Rare and Wild. That's a big, that's some big words.
Yeah. Those are emotional terms for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you're expecting, like, better see some perennial. We better see.
You know, I saw with the brewery. Yeah. You know? Let's go to the Eventbrite page before. It's a $60 ticket. It's 7-Eleven, the Field Museum. Barrel-aged funky beers. I just want to make sure I didn't overlook anything. No, that's it. That's all we got.
So not saying it yet. Okay. Right. So cool. We'll see. We'll see. But check that out. Field Museum, definitely worth any beer fest. Go in there, check it out.
Matt, I think of the spaces we've adapted, I think you could always do a beer fest at Wrigley. You could always do a beer fest at... In the light tower that you pass when you're on the boats, when you leave Navy Pier, you could do a beer fest there. But I think other than those two,
in the light tower, can you go in that?
Dude, let's get after it. Why are we playing? Have you seen this thing? It's huge. It's like 200 feet tall.
Yeah, I've gone by it when we've done like the cruises, Kurt Foreman's cruises and stuff.
I feel like you could party in there.
How you getting? You got to boat people out.
You got to dock the boat. It's a little dangerous, but we're talking about cool spaces. What are we doing here? Oh, but aside from those two places where I haven't seen a party, this is the coolest place I've seen a party.
All right.
I think I've been overserved.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. All right. So before we get out of here, any beer news then?
Oh, a little bit of beer news. Let's talk about Off Color. They released Barrel Age Growl, which is a Willet Barrel Age Belgian quad that it aged for 15 months. And, you know, a little bit of history on John Lafleur. He, at one point, ran the Goose Island barrel program there.
Yeah.
So
he knows a thing or two about barrels.
A little bit. And they've also got a wet hop version. It's also, you know, wet hop season now. He's got a wet hop version of Apex Predator.
Nice.
So
I believe the growl sold out that day.
It's done?
Yeah, it sold out that day.
Yeah. So. There you go.
You're screwed. If you're listening to this, you missed out.
Yeah, you're screwed. And the good folks at Pipeworks, they're neighbors. They got 120 barrel tanks in today.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's
huge.
That's big. That puts them in that upper percentile, right?
Yeah.
That upper quad where only like Rev and Lagunitas and Half Acre sit.
Yeah.
That they're approaching that status for sure.
Whew.
Yeah.
Crazy. So
super lightweight for news.
All right. Well, that'll do it then for this week's episode. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not recording here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Usually mention the Instagram throughout the show. We didn't even talk about it this time, but yeah, check that out. Man. We're usually posting pictures up all throughout the week of the events we make it to. And then Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass. We share other events, just other beer related stories we come across are there as well. And yeah, we're gonna finish some organic beers and get out of here.
Right on. Cheers.